I cannot believe I was in Norway 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And like, I've got all this warm weather kit. And like, what the hell have I got that for?
Just the first couple of things now that I'm thinking is like, maybe I should have just raced from the beginning. Shit.
It's crazy. It's crazy to be here. There were so much times that I had tears in my eyes on the whole ride.
Welcome to the Lost Stop podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design. Day 16 at TCO number 12, and the hum of riders gathering at the finish line in Kalamata has moved on to a legit buzz. There's a whole swarm getting some deserved rest, exploring the local area, and remembering what it feels like to not live on two wheels. In this episode, we'll hear more stories from those riders finishing today. We'll also travel back to Control Point 4 in Albania, where riders continue to pass through on their way to Greece. Let's start with Julian Manrique, Cap 202, who arrives at the finish having given himself a history lesson while on the bike. He spoke to race reporter Sophie Potter.
Being hearing podcasts of the history of the places that I'm passing by. So it was cool because in Norway I learned about the Vikings, I learned about how Norway was founded, after that Sweden, and while I'm passing by I'm learning about the places that I'm going to. So
that's smart.
That's pretty cool. And especially me, because I don't know too much of the history of Europe, everything that happened in the Balkans. So it has a special meaning, especially because you're passing through those places. And for example, in Sarajevo and Bosnia, when I saw a lot of graves, I didn't understand what was going on until I heard the history of the place, and I felt like, why these people are so special, you know, because they had also wounds like us, you know, like in Colombia. So that's why I didn't knew, but that's why that people resonated a lot with me. And when I told them I was from Colombia, they were like super happy seeing a Colombian here with them, and I felt like really special with Bosnian people and in Albania as well. So it was pretty cool. I mean, learning in the way and learning while you ride.
Robin Scourge, Cap 208, is fast approaching the finish line. At his special request, his wife and son are there waiting for him.
So you're here for Robin. Are you Robin's
wife?
Wife,
yes.
And who is that?
That's Robin's son and mine.
How old is he?
He's 1.5. So looking forward to have Papa back.
Yeah, and you too, I guess, because you were the one.
Yes.
Pretty soon, Robin rolls into the finish line.
Your wife told me that it was a bit of a last-minute plan. That you complained that everyone had their families, but not you.
Yeah, exactly. So we decided that Kristen and Emma were flying in. And for me that was a good motivation.
Yeah, I bet.
And it was 2 days ago when I think I ran out of electrolytes, and I was a bit naive to think I could compensate that with food. And then I had like empty legs, but the pharmacy helped out and I got some electrolytes and then legs were back. And parkour was actually quite fun tonight.
Yeah.
And I just crossed the second hill when sun rose, and that was beautiful. It was like
did you cry a bit?
Cried once, but that was when my legs were empty, and I knew that they were waiting for me, and I wanted to be here so quickly and as quickly as I could.
Yeah.
And then if you try to pedal and just don't get any watts onto the pedal.
Yeah.
That hurt a bit.
Is he going to become a cyclist?
Yeah, I forced him to.
TCR in 17 years?
That would be good, huh?
He can do a pair, maybe.
Yeah. Only if he's not faster than me.
Yeah.
Katharina Wurst, cap 119, rolled into Kalamata yesterday to take fifth position in the Flinter category. She's been full of positive energy whenever Sophie has bumped into her on the road. This was her first TCR, and she's already reflecting on how she might have gone even quicker.
I haven't had a moment really for myself yet, so I still have to have that, you know, really think about it, and I think, yeah, time will pass as well. But just the first couple of things now that I'm thinking is like, maybe I should have just raced from the beginning. Shit. Not like shit, because I think it's good that I did it the way I did it, because I just didn't know, because, you know, my first race, and just to take it slow in the beginning, that was my plan.
Mm.
But yeah, so I'm super excited for, like, more races to come now.
Yeah.
Like, it got me really, really, really excited.
So yeah, you loved it.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. It was, yeah, it was fun. It felt cruisy in a way.
Because it was your first one.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give an advice to someone that maybe want to sign up?
Do it. And I think, like, really just, if you know you can do it. I mean, I knew I could do it. And I, you know, when I talked to people, I said that. But I also said, you know I can do it. But I also know so much can happen on the way so that I can't finish. But in theory, I can do that. And I think just go for it and just try it out.
Next into the finish is Bernard Kemmerer, cap 185, who was expecting the worst for parkour 4, but found himself pleasantly surprised.
Thank you.
How are you?
It's okay.
Yeah, you're here.
It's okay. I'm here, yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
And thank you that there was no gravel on the last parkour.
Yeah.
I missed it. I was cycling, and to be honest, I never looked too much on the parkours before, because I think I have to do it anyways. And then yesterday I looked it up and I saw, oh, two big climbs, okay. And then, okay, two very big climbs. And I cycled in at 6 p.m. and closest beer. And I had no idea that how, if there are hotels or anything, but you can't stop at 6 p.m. So I cycled into then the first one or two rolling hills. And then this right turn, and then it's saying 29.7 kilometers for 1,300. And then the dogs came out, and I thought, fuck my life, really. Then there was a bunch of four dogs chasing me, and they didn't go away, and I was tired, I was hungry. And I was so happy that I found a hotel then, somewhere where I can sleep. And today I did the second climb. This was nicer than the first one. Mm. And I was always thinking, that cannot be everything. They will have a present for us. Something will come. That cannot be the end. Yeah? But it was the end. Just in 40 kilometer descent.
Yeah.
Nice.
A multiple TCR veteran now.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
Yeah, it feels... I'm very proud, to be honest. I thought of this, and yeah, I think in the end it was a good race. And the Bob track was the reason why I signed up for the race. Yeah. And I was just smiling this whole 120 seconds when going down there. It was so crazy.
It's so fun, isn't it?
It's a long ride for such a short
exactly.
Bob track.
Yeah, exactly. It was a long way, but it was worth it. Yeah. And so it was. And then the route was fantastic this year. That was, I think, it was the best route so far. And yeah, it's crazy to think that we've been 2 weeks ago in Trondheim, Norway.
This is the seventh time Matthew Falconer, cap 253, has taken on the TCR. Matthew's partner is waiting for him at the finish.
This one was obviously much, much longer, like 600k, 700k longer than the others. So it's obviously taking more time, but I've taken more time doing it as well. So trying to get a bit of enjoyment rather than just like out and out racing or anything like that. No sort of like all-nighters and stuff. I mean, I did get up at like midnight and ride a few times, but that was just to get ferries or, you know.
And you've got someone welcoming you on this?
Yes, my fiancée Sarah. She's a bit emotional, but yeah, she's very happy to have me back, I think. I'm not sure whether she's sad that I'm back or whether she's happy. So yeah, very
when
happy
are you
to
getting
back.
Married?
We are planning to get married in November, so got engaged just earlier this month, no, last month.
Just enough time to get rid of the tan lines.
No, I'm going to cultivate these for the rest of the summer.
They're pretty deep set now.
Yeah.
You need to get rid of the one from the helmet, maybe. For the picture.
Yeah, maybe, maybe.
Well, so, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
On both of the good news.
Sophie also spoke to Matthew's fiancée, Sarah.
Is it a bit emotional?
Very.
What emotions are those?
Oh, I can't even put them into words. The pictures. Just the pictures, even the pictures of the 22 finish, I can't look at them. They're so triggering. They're so emotional because it takes you back to that moment where everything that you've watched for 2.5 weeks, every single moment stress, they're such powerful feelings. They really are.
Did you feel like, were you scared for him?
No, because he loves it. He's in his happy place, and all the pictures he's sent me and taken, he's always smiling, he's always chipper, he's always positive, he's just a ray of sunshine all the time. Even when his feet hurt, his saddle sores, I've got saddle sores, and it just looks like it could be absolute hell, he's always smiling, it's incredible. I'm so proud of him, it's wonderful. I'm just done with not having him with me, I just want him back. it's good, we've got some time to relax now.
Do you think we're going to see him next year again?
I don't know. No, next year we need to be on a honeymoon.
I mean, we had a couple on their honeymoon and TCR was their honeymoon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So maybe something to think about.
Yeah, no, fam, all right, thanks.
Of course, riders are coming into the finish with days between them. But what is it that makes one rider faster than the other when it comes to ultra cycling? Time for a Sophie Explains.
One thing people often ask is, who is the fastest rider? But here's something really surprising. The winner of this year's TCR, Robin Kimberley, actually had a lower moving speed than the second place, Nicolas Châtelet. Robin averaged just over 24 km per hour while riding, while Nicolas averaged just over 25. Less than 1 km per hour faster. That doesn't sound like much, but over 195 hours of riding, that's almost 195 kilometers of difference. So how do you win a race when you're not the fastest rider? Well, I think it's time for another Sophie Explains. Today, speed. So what actually makes someone fast? Here's the trick. In ultra cycling, there is two completely different speeds. Your moving speed and your overall speed. Moving speed is how fast you ride when your wheels are turning. Overall speed includes everything else. Sleeping, eating, fixing your bike, even standing in a supermarket wondering which sandwich to buy. In the end, your GPS measures your moving speed. The leaderboard measures your overall speed. So why does that matter? Imagine two riders. Both ride at exactly 25 km per hour. One stop for 7 hours every day, the other one stop for 6. They are equally fast on the bike, but by the end of the race of 2 weeks, the second rider is 40 hours behind. Because in ultra cycling, the clock never stops. Every coffee, every restaurant, every unnecessary stop counts. So, does that mean you should ride as fast as you can? Not at all. One thing that surprises a lot of people is that these riders are not riding flat out all day. Most of the time, they are deliberately holding back. Why? Because the harder you ride, the faster you build fatigue, your hearts work harder, your muscles burn through energy faster, and eventually, you slow down. The trick isn't riding as fast as you can. Take Sarah Bosslet for example. Her average moving speed is around 20 km per hour. On a Sunday club ride, that might not sound particularly fast, but she keeps doing it for hours and hours, day after day. So ultra cycling is not about asking how fast can I ride, it's about asking how fast can I still be riding tomorrow. That's why every rider has a different strategy. Some riders ride faster and take longer breaks, others ride more steadily but with almost no stop time. Neither strategy is better, the best strategy is the one that works for your body. So if they are not running that fast, how do they reach the finish so quickly? The answer is efficiency. Ultra cyclists have a word for wasting time, faffing. Standing around looking for your charger, walking around in the supermarket without knowing what you want, you lose time. The day before my very first ultra race, I had absolutely no idea what I was getting myself into. Then someone gave me a piece of advice I would like to pass on to you today because I think it sums up ultra cycling better than anything else. Never sit anywhere except on your saddle. In other words, if you're not moving, you should either be sleeping or doing something useful, buying food, fixing your bike, or planning your route. Another piece of advice I heard was never stop until you have at least 3 things to do. Don't stop just to pee. Stop to pee, refill your bottles, add electrolytes, put on sunscreen, buy food and charge your GPS. Make every stop count because in ultra cycling, every stop has a cost. So if you're going to stop, make it count. One last piece of advice. This only works with compatible tasks. Brushing your teeth and eating breakfast
are not one of them.
Let's head to Albania and Control Point 4, where riders are stopping to get their brevet cards stamped one last time before the end of the race. Tomorrow night, CP4 closes, and anyone arriving after the cut-off time will be out of general classification. This is something that's happened before to Tom Dockle, Cat 174, but he's looking good at the moment. Race volunteer Lisa is on hand with the mic.
Tom, how many TCRs have you done before?
It's my fifth try.
Your fifth try? What does that mean?
I never finished before cut-off. I've scratched twice. I finished twice after cut-off. Once with you. And here we are.
And here we are. And what made you come back for a fifth time?
The sick obsession of getting into GC. Yeah.
How do you feel about this year's TCR then? Do you think you're going to make it? I mean, it's looking...
I hope so. I haven't had a mechanical, which is weird. I don't want to jinx it. But I usually have like at least half a dozen of flats. And this year, nothing. I pumped up my tires 2-3 times. The bike is not the problem. The legs are not the problem. My mental state sometimes is a problem, but it's okay.
If you've heard previous episodes, you'll know that Sarah Boslett, Cap 120, and winner of the Flinter category at this year's race, lost her partner Mohit in a collision 2 years ago. Mohit's brother, Mudit, is also taking part at TCR number 12, and he's made it to Control Point 4.
Welcome to Checkpoint 4. How's your race been?
It's been steady. Actually, I've been sleeping a lot, so I don't feel like a zombie at all. But nice. Yeah, it's been steady. Like, I had a few off days because I had like some stomach cramps and like I ate something really bad, something in Serbia a couple of days ago. But like, I feel fine now.
Okay, that's good.
So yeah, doing good.
Yeah, are you happy with where you are in the race?
Yeah, sort of. It's my first TCR, so I think I'm going pretty steady. Like, I'm not pushing it too much.
Yeah.
And go, like, whenever I want to sleep, I sleep, whether it's like 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. Okay. Doesn't matter. Yeah, whatever the body needs.
Can I ask you about your motivation for signing up for TCR?
Oh, so it was my brother did it in TCR. In 2024. Yeah. Yeah, ever since then, like, he told me a lot of stories about TCR and like the riders there, and like, yeah, it's been living up to what he was talking about. And yeah, this, it's pretty overwhelming and emotional for me, because like, I have a lot of chats with him on on the ride, and like on the nights when I'm riding, and like, yeah, when I'm alone, like, I don't listen to music.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like, no matter how big the climb is or like how long the ride is, or yeah, just talk and like talk to him, or yeah. I have like some of his voice notes that I listen to. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, yeah, my motivation has been him and like just finishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he'd be very proud of you for making it to here. And
thank you.
Hopefully to Kalamata as well.
Yeah, hopefully there. Yeah.
Paul Jennings and Damien Ludlow, Caps 416 A and B, are also safely into CP4. One of them has been having a bit of bother throughout the day, which is why sometimes it can be handy to have a pair partner nearby.
How's your day been today?
The day has been good. It's been slow. Paul, my ride partner, has been suffering a lot today. Very a lot of today, yes, and
he seems to be coming back to life now.
Yeah, we've seen a thumbs up. So
yes,
that's a big
coming
improvement.
Back to life. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we're going to stop here tonight, let Paul recover, and we'll carry on tomorrow.
Yeah, nice. Can you tell us what happened today?
What in the fact that he's got a really bad stomach and he can't pedal long before he has to jump in a bush. But yeah, that's the nature of the game, isn't it, really? Yeah, it's you've got to try and keep yourself healthy as long as you can, because it's going to get you eventually. If you were at home now, you'd be in bed now, and you'd just be running to the toilet and back again. It's just, that's how it is, but you can't take days off.
Yeah. And it's It's his birthday as well, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. He was hoping for a good day today, and it's been the worst day ever. So.
Let's head back to Kalamata, chats with David about what his role involves.
So David, tell us, beside welcoming rider on the finish line, which I think is the most important part of your job, what do you do as a race director?
So the race director for each of our races has quite a few different responsibilities. So in the build-up to the race, they take a lead on route design and then planning the recce of that route as well, and make sure that we have all the information that we need. They are the ones that create the race manuals, which are the Bibles that the riders use to do all of their planning and have all of the race information that they need as well. And then also just things like negotiate with local authorities in the start city and make sure we have the permissions that we need for various different bits to make sure that everything runs as smoothly as possible. So yeah, that's kind of all in the build-up to the race, and then once the race is on, we have a huge team of volunteers across the race, so like we make sure that they're all set up at the different control points and also at home, so we have over 100 volunteers working on each edition of TCR, so quite a big logistical ask there, as well as a media team which is spread out across an entire continent with a few folks at home as well, so making sure that they have all the information that they need, that they have the guidance that they need to make sure that they can do their best work and prioritise their time effectively. And then, as you say, yeah, making sure that that ice-cold beer is handed to a rider as they roll into the finish line in Kalamata. It feels like maybe not the most important, but definitely the most fun job that I have as part of being race director, yeah.
So do you think you had more or less sleep than the riders themselves?
A good question, yeah. It definitely feels like we're doing an ultra as well. We're just in a car rather than on a bicycle.
Another rider arrives into Kalamata, and it's Byron Buck, Cap 212. David's there to welcome him.
I cannot believe I was in Norway 2 weeks ago. I'm like, I've got all this warm weather kit. I'm like, what the hell have I got that for? But obviously, about 2 weeks ago, I did actually need it when it was like -2.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, 40 yeah. degree swing between the first night and time you arrive is
absolutely mad. Nuts, isn't it? It's incomprehensible, really.
Yeah.
So yeah, I am looking forward to getting some clean clothes. I feel mean.
Does that mean a raid of the tourist shops down on the beach, or have you got?
Is that the best place to go? Have you got any tips?
Yeah.
Well, now the race is over, I can ask you, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is. I can support you at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's some pretty natty Kalamata t-shirts which have been doing a roaring trade
I want
with
the
other riders.
The tackiest thing I can get. Yeah. I don't want anything that looks good.
I don't think that's an option, actually.
Yeah. So, perfect. Yeah. I've come to the right place. Then. Yeah.
James Reeb, Cap 231, is another rider, somewhat incredulous about how far they've travelled.
Yeah, I can't imagine that we started in Norway so long ago.
And so long, not so long ago.
Not so long, but yeah, it seems so long.
Did you expect that you were going to do it like so fast?
For me, I set the challenge to do 16 days, and I think now I have 16 days and 2 hours or so, and it's great. It's really great.
If you had to describe like the whole race or the whole TCR in one word, what would it be?
One word. Amazing. Yeah, it's not describable. I have to get 1 or 2 days to reflect the whole thing, I think.
You didn't have enough time to reflect, you think?
I had very much time to reflect, and I reflected not only the race. It's so amazing about what you think on such a long journey. And I reflected friendships, I reflected my work, I reflected really everything. Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy to be here. There were so much times that I had tears in my eyes on the whole ride.
Finally, Sophie speaks to Hannah Heike, Cap 314.
Did you have any doubt or any fear before you signed up?
I wanted to know if I can do it, yes. Yeah. Yeah, and it's a nice feeling to prove it now. Yeah. Yeah. I'm really proud. Yeah.
When did you start thinking, like, oh, I can actually do it?
When I was, like, going through the first struggles and seeing that it works somehow and I can continue. yeah, that gave me power and yeah, helped me to push further. It was a very nice feeling.
What was your biggest struggle? Or the first one that you overtook and then think like, oh, it's okay, I can manage?
To listen to my body somehow, because I got my period very strong. So I had to listen to that and make a break. And yeah, after that it was better. Then I could push better, and yeah, it was also nice after period to have that push, yeah.
Did you learn something about yourself?
That I can trust my gut feeling quite good. I don't know if you say it in English like that. Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, with every decision, I have already a feeling and intuition, and yeah, I'm happy about listening to it even more than before.
Your mom is on the finish line now.
Yeah, I was super surprised.
Do you think because she's proud? Oh. I'm gonna have to ask her.
Yeah, I think so. She said a lot of times that she's proud, and she and my family and friends believe more that I'm capable of doing it than myself. Yeah.
That's a feeling we all share.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm crying now. It wasn't planned.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I'm in the same boat. I'm crying as well.
I'm a super emotional person, so yeah, it's worth a lot. Yeah. I'm very happy I did it, and I'm very happy that I signed up and prepared for it like I did. So yeah, of course I learned a lot, but I can do better. But for now, and for the things that I could know before and prepare, it was a really good race, yeah, for me.
We are entering the final few days of this year's TCR. Tomorrow, our final control point, CP4, will close its doors and more riders will make their way to the finish. Before then, there's time for Sophie's recap of the day.
Today in Control Gear number 2, we spend another day at the finish line, welcoming now the top 100 of the race. It's fascinating to watch riders slowly become normal humans again. Although, after spending more than 2 weeks mostly talking to their GPS, their first conversations are not exactly philosophical. They are usually something like, "Sorry, but where can I get clothes?" I don't blame them. Today, Jim Fisher, Cap 59, told me he had skipped like so many dance parties over the past months because of TCR training that he was really looking forward to the dance floor at the finisher party. So I think it's time for me to start the heavy advertising here. Yes, the finisher party is actually going to be a proper party. So make sure you arrive with just enough energy left for one last effort, dancing. And if your legs refuse to cooperate, don't worry, we will carry you. Gossip Girl moment.
Gossip Girl is real?
Spotted Romain Müller, Cap 37, taking notes at the finish line. Rumor has, he's not writing down memories from the race, but calculating and designing his next bike after hearing today's news. Indeed, Polish ultra swimmer Bartłomiej Kubkowski has just become the first person in the world to swim across the Baltic Sea from Sweden to Poland. Ring the bell? More than 160 kilometers and 56 hours in the water. There are still a few challenges before this becomes a viable TCR strategy, mainly because the support boat bringing him food and drinks, but give Robert a few months and I'm sure he will come back with a floating bike and a very creative solution to those tiny little details. Spotted Simon van Teutem, Cap 87, swapping his saddle for a donkey. Caption says, "Athens will not see me coming." Well, I certainly hope not, because the finish line is in Kalamata. Tomorrow the CP4 closes, so the last CP out there still open. So make sure you are there on time, but otherwise, we are waiting for every single one of you. We keep watching your dots moving across the map, so keep moving. And remember, it's perfectly okay to cry the first time you see the sea. And until that first swim, good night and good ride, everyone.
Remember, you can read Jake's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Stop website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.